I am fascinated, intrigued, and honored
you
by
may
the
have done what they said you did, but you're
they
not
are magnificent,
they
marvelous.
You, are.
You
need to know that you're okay just the way you are. Succeeded in you as a child.
What you've been through matters.
This podcast is designed for you.
It's
love on a
battle.
Mission in a world
about
where human experience
is greatly
lacking.
My name is Ginger Wilk, and we're here to talk about that which matters.
Welcome to That Which Matters. Thank you so much for joining me today and listening to the topic that I have in store for you, which I'm very excited about because it's going to be about having compassion for this younger generation. And I just want to tell you, I love, love, love teenagers and young adults, and they've just always been my favorite generation and age group. And I started out early on in my career, even my internship in college, I was working with teenagers at a high school. That was part of my program in dealing with some substance use issues. Right out of college, I worked with young girls in a residential treatment center with substance use issues there, and then in another one to follow that were dealing with foster care kind of scenarios where they were not able to live at home with their parents or caregivers. And my husband and myself led a youth group in Harlem for many years. And we just loved, loved, loved all of those kids. We were in our 20s ourselves, and they were in high school, so we weren't even much older than them. But there is just something so amazing and so energetic and promising and powerful about young people. And I know that they're often misunderstood and often dismissed or just not really valued at that particular stage because, you know, they're kind of in a metamorphosis, right? Their identity is being discovered. And so sometimes, you know, they appear one way and then they shift. Maybe in the way that they dress or the friends that they hang around with or what they think. And then when they're young adults, they start challenging different beliefs. And I know a lot of parents and caregivers have a difficult time with that. And I understand it. I do understand it. But I'll tell you, I just love being around that age bracket. They will tell you the truth, even when you don't want to hear the truth, but you listen to it anyway. They don't waste a lot of words. They don't want to sit around and talk for hours about things that don't matter. They want action. Kids want action. They want things to change. They don't want to talk about their mother being a chronic alcoholic. They want their mother to stop drinking. That's what they want. And so there's not a lot of sitting around and kind of analyzing. It's just a matter of, like, let's tackle the issues and let's turn things in the right direction. And I just want to tell you that, you know, the youth right now, let's just say everybody from like 26 and younger, when you think about what they have lived through. Now, we have all lived through a lot recently, right? So we can all say that we've been through a lot. This has not been an easy decade at all. Let's just limit it to the decade, right? It has not been easy. But if you think about those of you that are over 40, right, when you think about your lifespan, what you've lived through, the amount of years where you've had peace, the amount of years where you've had normality, the amount of years where there's just been a bunch of medium days, right, those are vast in comparison to some of these rougher years. But now think about everybody that's age 26 and younger. Think about it. When my daughter was in preschool, on her day off in between, because she went 3 days a week, on her day in between, she had a first day, and then the next day was the 9/11 terrorist attack. So literally she was in preschool. My younger daughter was 2 when this whole thing happened, where all of a sudden the sense of security that we had in the world was forever changed. There was no homeland security until the 9/11 attack. We now have a government agency that's vast because of that attack, because we woke up one day and realized that we weren't as safe and secure as we thought. And the young people, this was the beginning of their very lives. And then think about the Sandy Hook massacre. We're in this general area, right? My kids were on lockdown when it happened. They were under their desks because they were close enough in proximity to where it occurred, taking nothing away from those families and students that were in that school and teachers that were in that school. They will be the first responders. They will be forever changed because of that situation. But just being in close proximity or wherever you were in the world, the idea that something like that could happen in an elementary school to kids that young was absolutely devastating. And so that was another thing that occurred, not to mention the multiple school shootings that have happened since then. I tried to even look up the statistics, and there's too many places and too many that nobody has really even put it together in a specific database. I'm sure it is somewhere, but enough where you could Google it and find it, because there have been so many and so many different types of attacks. Attacks in, you know, concert halls and, you know, out on the streets, all during this particular set of years that everybody from, say, 26 and younger have experienced. What about a pandemic that shut the entire world down for months and months and months? Not our country, not our state, not our town, the world. The entire world went through this. What about some of the college students that were abandoned, not abandoned, but they were studying abroad, and they faced the possibility of never having these borders open in time for them to come back to their country? What about all of the people that, the young people that have lost, you know, grandparents and relatives that have had to say goodbye to multiple people during that time? Think about the tremendous division that occurred during the pandemic, during the tumultuous election, during all the things that occurred that caused division among the political parties, among people in their races, and wherever their cultural differences were, whether it's in church, out of church, or whatever, all of this division. And this is just to mention some of the things that have occurred. Now try to think about that. Try to think about somebody who started out in preschool with 9/11 and then had all of those things that we've all experienced in a row. But yet they didn't have those earlier years. They didn't have those medium days. They didn't have the times when you could go out and play at recess and not worry about a shooter being on campus, or where you could just go out and ice skate without global warming coming in. Whatever it is, whatever the good things that we experienced, and we've all been through things, I'm not minimizing that, but the unbelievable compact set of experiences that young people have gone through is unbelievably painful. And the anxiety levels of young people are at a sky high level. And I just want the older people to understand and to know that there needs to be tremendous compassion for this age bracket, to really, really comprehend that the expectations, although you should never lower expectations for your children, but that making sure that you're paying attention to their mental health is so incredible. If someone was coming back from war and they were on the front lines of, you know, battle, or someone was coming back from having been taken in as a hostage, or somebody was kidnapped and they came back, we would understand the grace that's needed to help to nurture them back. Well, the younger generation, they need that nurturance. They need that love and they need that grace. They're criticized a lot for being on their phones. Well, what are they supposed to focus on? What are they supposed to focus on? If they look out the windows, what's coming? If they look on the news, what are they going to hear about? Where is the good news? And we know it's here, and I want to bring hope to this generation, but I want there to be compassion to the younger ones. And when I see young people, I see people who are anxious and who have seen more tragedy in their lifetime than older adults have. If there's an 18-year-old, it's been their entire life, if you think about it. And I see people who have a difficult time seeing hope ahead. They're scared to have kids someday. They've been afraid at school. They're afraid to have children and to send their children to school someday because of what they've been exposed to. They're bashed for being on their technology, but many, many times they have no other choices, and technology is the one thing that can bring them to a place of hope, whether it's to get concert tickets, whether it's to order something that's going to make them feel better or whatever. It's a place where they can find some level of hope or comedy or whatever it needs to be in order to reduce that anxiety. But I will tell you that their love is intense. Many of them are very protective of one another. They're protective of making sure that their peer group is loved, that people are not ridiculed. I'm not saying that there aren't bullies out there. There are, and that needs to be addressed for sure. But many, many, many of the younger generation, they're protective of one another because they want to make sure that adults are going to love their friends and the people in their community, and they don't respect when there's an intolerance for different things. They call out hypocrisy. If they see it, they call it out, because to them, it's more important to be real than to have a sense of a theology or a belief system that just doesn't seem to be computing with them. They would rather honesty, be honest, you know, if you hate this or if you dislike this, instead of pretending that you're one way and you end up being different. They see differences, even similarity. I've heard some of them say things like, oh, well, you know, in the Christian churches or in some communities, they go on missions trips. And they love to be with people that are from other nations. And they love to be able to preach and to do, you know, vacation Bible school and to bring presents and to pray with people from other countries. But yet then they come down super hard against immigration and show a level of hatred. Again, it's not a political thing. It's just pointing out some things that don't seem to make sense. What is that about? Do you love people from other countries or do you not? Take a look at what you're saying and what you're thinking, because they're watching. They're not zoning out on technology. They're listening to everything and they're aware of everything. They struggle to find role models. They want people who are really going to show them a real, true, loving adult that they can look up to. And that's a critical thing. And so when I look at some of the statistics, there are so many kids, teenagers, young adults that struggle with suicidal ideation. They have this hopelessness. They don't know how to be able to understand that there's going to be a change coming, because it's been one thing after another after another. When I work with couples, for instance, just to use an example, and let's just say it's the, you know, wife that's been cheating on the husband, right? And they're trying to repair. She finally stops cheating and they're trying to move forward with their relationship. And we're talking about establishing trust. And what I will often say to that couple is, what that husband needs in order to build trust is he needs a whole bunch of medium days where there's nothing that goes wrong. There's no drama that goes on around cheating or around phone calls or text messages or social media or letters that come in the mail. Nothing, nothing that is going to rattle what they're beginning to build. And after a long period of time without any drama, he can begin to trust and their relationship can be built. Well, young people today are looking for periods of time where there's no drama and there's just so much of it around, and it's very hard for them to get a footing. And so I really want to make sure that there is compassion that is there, an understanding of the process, and grace that is given to just really love your kids visibly and with affection and with a determination to look past some of the things that might be repelling to you and to look into the heart of where they are, because I have tremendous hope. I see young people as being so filled with honesty and with wanting to embrace change and with wanting to do amazing things. And I know that God is rooting for you. And if you're in that age bracket, I just want you to know that you're not alone and that I understand, but more importantly, God understands you. He doesn't want you to be like your mother or your grandmother or your father or your brother or whoever else. He wants you to be you exactly the way that you are. And so I just wanted to share a story about a young girl that I met with when I was first working, my very first job out of college. I met this girl and I wrote about her, and I want to read it to you. And it's called A Girl and a Brush. She cascaded the stairs to be noticed with an expectation that she would not be. I and another counselor on the premises took every opportunity to greet this new resident with glowing warmth. "You look so pretty this morning, Sarah." Color crawled to her cheeks and her lips parted, the way they should have at one's first celebrated bite of solid food or independent steps or recited lines of an elementary school play. Today she was seen, and this was foreign to her. If only that smile would linger and innocence remain, but it would soon be followed by the dagger thrusts in the form of words at every person to address her, especially the adults in the room from the tribe of nurturance and protection. She wouldn't trust us, and so we suffered the slaying of her hope and the beheading of her trust that preceded us. Golden hair, sea blue eyes, and a tongue that could slit throats. We tried and failed, and then maintained a safe distance. I began to notice a trend. She would come out with a late night issue right at the time of the changing of the guards. Weeks later, I was that guard. A long drive awaited me, but she presented an issue that I could have solved in 3 minutes. Tonight, however, I knew that I had to win her over, and this was going to cost me something. She was worth the price. So I stayed, well beyond my shift. We greeted the overnight staff. We silenced the clock. It didn't matter. It didn't matter the topic. To this day, I have no idea what the subject matter was. It wasn't about her. It was about the seriousness of my life of service to people. A young girl needed to know that concern for her didn't run out at 11 p.m., that I was more than a hired hand and she was worth more than the totality of my wages. I solved no psychological mysteries that evening and not sure if she even said thank you, but weeks later she sought me out and wanted to talk about her mother. I stilled myself and postured to listen without a sudden move. She sat on the couch beside me and I didn't know what to say. 4 years of college, 6 months of an internship, and piles of textbooks had fallen miserably short. It was me and a wounded soul, and I had nothing to offer. So I picked up a brush and ran it through her hair and could hear the hum of hope. I was breathless. Her vulnerability was a precious gift to me. I, 21, with a bachelor's degree in psychology, she, 16, with an internship in psychological abuse, we connected with a brush and without words, uncertain who helped who more. So, just so you know, I changed the name. Her name was not Sarah. And I will always remember this girl. I will always remember that moment where I just picked up a brush and just brushed her hair, because sometimes words just aren't adequate, you know? Sometimes we just can't come up with anything that we can say that's going to soothe the soul, you know? And that's true for all of us, but especially for young people, and especially for young people that have gone through a lot of trauma, whether it's all the things I just mentioned, that's pretty universal, or whether it's other types of trauma that have occurred. In this case, this was someone who had a really terrible relationship with her mom. More than anything, God was the one who gave me that idea to just brush her hair, because what she longed for more than anything was just that affection. And that's one thing that I've learned about teenagers, is that they might talk a big talk or act a certain way, but they need love just as much as they needed it when they were 4 years old. Sometimes it's just the adults that are a little bit more uncomfortable giving it to them. Or sometimes their reaction or their walls are kind of repelling, and so we pull ourselves back from that. But they need affection. They need hugs. You know, they need their hair brushed. They need to have somebody that just puts their arm on their shoulder and says, "I'm proud of you." They need somebody that is able to just sit and not say anything next to them. They need to know that even in the way that they're thinking about themselves and some of the things that they're going through and some of the enormous issues that they're sifting through, even though to us it might not seem enormous, to them it does. Even though they're going through all of that, they need that love and that affection. And sometimes we just need to really pray for wisdom and how to deal with it. Sometimes we think that we know as parents, or whether you're teachers or whatever, we think we know how to be able to respond. And one thing that I've learned is that sometimes you just have to do a lot of improv, but you do it with God in the center of it all. You know, the other thing is that you never really want to address things with kids, with youth and young adults in front of a whole crowd. If there's something that you want to say to them, you take them aside by themselves. You talk to them when they're alone in a situation that they can be prepared for whatever's being said. They won't have to face the shame or the embarrassment or of being in a situation where they're being addressed or corrected. And sometimes you just have to choose your battles. You know, you can't win every single battle. You can't talk about the shade of your daughter's lipstick and, you know, the length of her skirt and the messiness of her room and, you know, the guy that she's dating who seems to be troublesome. Sometimes maybe just focus on that boy, right? Maybe we can close the bedroom door and maybe we can let her slide with the skirt and even with the shade of lipstick. But maybe you should focus in on, I have some concerns about this guy that you're dating. You know, he seems like he's, you know, not as respectful of you as he should be or whatever. Like, you have to weigh it out and you have to decide what needs to be addressed. You know, I remember when my daughter was in middle school, same daughter gave me the hard time about picking her up. She's very artistic, especially when it comes to makeup. And so she started at that age wearing some makeup. It wasn't tons, like she didn't cake it on or anything, but she did a lot of experimenting with her eyes. And, you know, years later, she's like, why did you let me go to school with that, you know, type of makeup on? And honestly, I decided not to fight her on it. She didn't look crazy or anything. She just kind of, it wasn't to perfection, that's for sure. But I just saw it as it's her way of expressing art, you know, and it wasn't important to me. It was more important to me that, you know, she was doing well. I mean, I would go to, some of the parent teacher conferences and they would tell me about my girls and, you know, what they were doing in class and so forth. And I would ask them at the end of the parent teacher conference, like, how are they doing socially? And they were like completely thrown off guard by that question, because it's not usually what's talked about, but that's important to me. How are they doing? Do they interact with other people? Oh yes, you know, X, Y, and Z. And I would focus on some of the other things like that were related to, you know, their mental health and their overall wholeness when they were in school, you know. And that was one of the things that I gave a suggestion to when my youngest daughter finished high school. They sent a survey out, and it was a very strong academic school that she went to, both of them went to, and they sent out a survey, and I just said in the survey, I was like, academics are high, the teachers are well qualified, you know, but please, please, please pay attention to mental health. Pay attention, because it's not worth it. Some of the things that my kids would have to deal with coming home and stressing out, staying up till 4 o'clock in the morning and then getting up at 6 to take the bus when they were, you know, 15, 16 years old. It was atrocious. Again, nobody was holding a gun to their head and saying you have to stay up till 4 o'clock, but they wanted to make sure that they were doing everything that they needed to. And I think that we just need to realize that we have to really take a look at our kids overall and choose what's the most important. Maybe it's just spending time with them instead of, you know, making them sit down and do extra hours of homework. Or maybe it's getting them help. Maybe it's getting them into counseling. Maybe it's getting a tutor. Or maybe it's just showing up more to the parent-teacher conferences or being there when they come home from school to have a special snack with them and to just, you know, take their minds off of what's going on. It's a heavy time right now in the world. And interaction is super important. So I just want to, you know, impart the understanding that, you know, young people, they're going to be running this world in the days to come. And they have everything that they need within them right now to do just that. And they want love. They want people to love each other. They want people to respect one another. They don't want people to be pushed aside or rejected or ignored. They're a strong bunch of people that are militant about making sure that we're not hypocritical as adults, that we're not getting so caught up in our political views that we're missing the people. That's all that's important to them is people, because that's all they've had in the middle of all of what they've dealt with is the people that are around them For some of them, they've been able to cling to those within their homes that they love. And for others, they've had to go to their peers. For some, they've had to go to internet-based friendships that they've never met because they're lonely. And I just want to make sure that we're focusing on that and understanding that and knowing how important that generation is. And I just want to speak right now to the young people that are listening. I just want you to know that God sees you. God understands you. God has hope for you. God has a future for you. God knows the things that you're crying about when you're on your beds at night. God knows the prayers that are in you that you haven't even spoken out loud, and the ones that you don't even know really, truly. Prayers that are so embedded in your heart that you haven't even been able to articulate them. God knows that. He knows what you're going through at school. He knows what you're going through at work. He knows what you're going through in your neighborhood, in your friendships, in some of the secret things that are going on that have gotten you entangled. You know, some of you have been in situations where you've been catfished, where you've been blackmailed by people. You've been asked to send photos of yourself and then you've been blackmailed. And I just want to tell you this, no matter what has happened to you, do not give up. There is hope. You have many, many years for life to turn around and for things to get better. You have years where you will find love. You have years where you will find success, no matter what has happened. You have years where you will have a ministry, a hobby, enjoying moments of your life, laughter and joy. I speak laughter and joy over you. Even though you've been despondent and you've been in a place where you feel like you need to give up, do not give up. Do not execute that plan against yourself. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Do not execute that plan, but stand and know and understand the love that God has for you and the fact that there is a support system out there for you. There are mentors out there. Just look for them. There's help out there. Just look for it. And most of all, believe in yourself and understand that you are not alone. The things that you're thinking about yourself, the things you're going through, you are not alone. I promise you. And if you think you are, you're being lied to. And I just want to call out deception, because deception is trying to come against this generation and make it seem like hope is not possible. And that is a lie. And I expose deception in that area and declare that beautiful things are going to come in your life. Just hold on, hold on. Someday you're going to look back at this podcast and you're going to remember that it was spoken, and you're going to look back and understand that you turned the corner from the destruction that was trying to take you out. And I just want you to know that I believe in you and God believes in you. And there are many, many people that are going to be able to see and experience the talents, the beauty, the brilliance, the amazing qualities that all of you have right now. You, I'm talking to you, the amazing qualities that you have. You are worth it. You are worth it. You are worth it. And you matter to God. And I just want to let you know that there is hope. Thank you for listening.
In collaboration with IML Productions, this has been your host, Ginger Wilk, with That Which Matters. Thank you for listening.